Inspiration, communication, critical thinking, creativity. This is AISD Tech Talk.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the first podcast of this year of AISD Tech Talk. My name is Brandon Carr, instructional technology. We don't have Paul Munshauer this year. He is gone off to greater things, I suppose. But instead, we have Susie Carrot, our new hire this year. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Brandon.
That was great. Susie hails from somewhere north of Oklahoma.
Very north of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
And she is new this year down here in Texas, and we're glad to have her. And we have a guest. Susie, you have more experience with our guests' business, I guess you would say.
Yes.
So I'll let you do the introducing here.
All right. So we have the co-founder of Insert Learning. It used to be Docent, but this is Matt Newpin. And Matt's going to tell us a little bit more about what Insert Learning is and all the things that you can do with Insert Learning in your classroom and how to leverage this technology to really expand what you do with your students in regards to articles and some of the other tech you're likely already using.
Are you there, Matt?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Suzanne and fellow Minnesotan. I'm remembering our conversation now when we talked a few weeks back. And we're talking about all the cold in Minnesota.
Yes. Well, and it sounds like you guys are going to get blasted by snow here in the next day or so.
Well, that was the big thing. Yeah, we were taking a poll today in class of whether or not we're going to have class tomorrow. We're going to have school at all. And I owed one of my students a can of soda because she had correctly guessed that we were going to have an early release a different day. And I thought she was totally off. But she called it like a week in advance. She's like, we're going to totally close school on Friday, or at least an early release. You know, I guess for me, you know, before I even get into Insert Learning, I mean, I'm talking to you guys right now from my school's makerspace. I'm the STEM coordinator, teach a variety of things person at a K-12 charter school in Minnesota.
Okay.
This is my 11th year teaching, but I'm also one of the co-founders and the CEO of Insert Learning.
Wow. So you're still actively in the classroom?
Yep. Yeah.
I figured you'd be sitting on piles of money somewhere.
That would be if I didn't go into the education world. I don't know why I thought of like, hey, like, if I'm going to make money as a teacher, like, why? Yeah.
What about
I wasn't
that,
thinking very clearly of making millions.
Yeah, but that teachers pay teachers thing. I mean, you got to get on that bandwagon somehow.
PDS with clip art. I got to figure that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 11 years ago when I started teaching, my school had just received a big grant for a bunch of computers and they had fast internet. And they were like, hey, we want to be trailblazers for this whole online learning thing. We've got all the resources. Go out there and start making some online lessons. And I was a foolish first-year teacher. I thought, sure, why not? This should be super simple. And it was just so much more difficult than I thought it would be.
Right.
And much more difficult than it should have been. You know, so I spent all the time creating all these worksheets and all these things on, like, Google Docs and Microsoft Word and trying to use different annotation tools. And nothing worked, really.
Right.
And it was a lot of clicks, and my students got lost. And so, right, you always have the problem of, you know, if you give your students a link to a video, is the video so amazing that you're willing to have your students actually now click on that link and have the very real chance that they will never even finish watching that video and they will end up someplace else on the internet?
Right.
And then, like, you know, then never come back to your lesson. You know, like, right, like, there's all these different things that you have to kind of weigh and how much extra stuff are your students going to have to do? Because the more links you have them click on, the more you're going to lose them.
Right.
The less control you have over what your students are doing, the more you're going to lose them. So the idea of sending your students to a website and now going back to these worksheets and doing all these different kinds of clicks and moving around, each time you're more likely to lose more and more of your students. And it's going to be so much of a struggle.
Right.
And that's really where Insert Learning came from, was Karen and I are co-founders. Karen's an English teacher. And we were teaching at an alternative school at the time. And so it was all at-risk teens. Right. And we were like, man, yeah, like if we could just put questions on websites, that would solve our problems for creating digital curriculum. And that's really where Docent EDU Insert Learning came from. I pitched the idea at a startup weekend, where it's just kind of like this fun thing of learning what it's like to start up a business over the weekend. And most people, it's just a fun weekend and then that's it.
Uh-huh.
But we won first place and we're like, man, like this could go someplace. And here we are about 4 years later. Insert Learning is now the number one web annotation tool on Chrome with about 1 million installs.
Oh, wow.
We have over 8,000 schools that have teachers that have signed up and using Insert Learning. And we are even international. We've got big pockets of schools in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, different places in Europe and Africa, and a number of different schools in South America.
Wow.
So it's been really amazing. And so many teachers are finding creative ways of using it that I had never even thought of before.
Okay.
And that has now become my favorite thing, is looking at other teachers' lessons.
So did you have a background in, I don't know, web app development? Or, I mean, where'd you even start outside of the weekend that you went to and had it down on paper?
Yeah, so I'm going to preface this with, in education, we try to tell our students a lot of, like, failure is the first step to learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school for I got a chemistry degree and my teaching license.
Yeah.
My student teaching was a failure. So
yeah.
I did not go into teaching. So then I got a job as a chemist. And I worked as a chemist, and I was a failure at that. So then I got a job as a web programmer, and I kind of taught myself how to code web pages, and I got a job doing that. So I did that for about 3 years,
uh-huh.
and it just wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
So that's when I finally went back to teaching then, and teaching then finally stuck.
Okay.
And so I had a strong background in web development and making web apps. And I was teaching a lot of technology classes
right.
over the years. And so I designed our website and did some of the coding for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the real development of Insert Learning was done by Ben, our other co-founder. And he's just this wizard at development that was able to kind of like make Insert Learning work. So I kind of had a background in technology. So I had an idea of what was possible.
Okay.
And I could dabble in things, but then Ben is the technical co-founder.
Okay. Okay.
And you guys have been adding new features and coding new possibilities for Insert Learning. I would say it was probably 4 years ago, back when you guys were still Docent, when I found out about you. And the number of things you've added to that platform since has been incredible.
Thank you. It's been extremely exciting talking with teachers and hearing what their students are saying about Insert Learning and the difference it makes in their classrooms of getting their students to be more engaged with what they're reading. And the big part just of that, the teachers are picking more and more articles that the students want to read and then tailoring it for their lessons or for their learning objectives. That's what's really driven our development. It's just a lot of talking with teachers and tech coaches and administrators and hearing what things they need so that teachers and students can interact more with what they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of it is just so teachers can teach how they want to teach. That's one of our big things, is a tech tool should never dictate how a teacher teaches.
Right.
It should just simply allow a teacher to do what they want to do. And that's why it's like, we're not a curriculum company.
Mm-hmm.
We never will be. And that's just, we want to give teachers the flexibility to do what they need to do. And that's, again, you have like, so those features, we kind of like, we've got like a running list of all these features. And every time somebody asks for it, it gets bumped up a little bit higher on our list. And we use that to kind of really figure out like, where are we going to go next for our new features?
Wow.
So before we go down that rabbit hole of new features, do you want to maybe give a brief overview of what
yeah.
the current features are and really what Insert Learning is and how teachers are using it in their classrooms?
Yeah, how would like your average teacher, what would be a way they could integrate into their classroom?
Thank you, Suzanne. I think that was the original question I was supposed to answer. all right, so Insert Learning lets teachers take any web page or Google Doc on the internet and turn it into an interactive lesson by embedding your questions and your discussions and your notes and your videos and your Flipgrids and Edpuzzles and Quizlets and embedding them all directly into the text. And so that means that instead of telling your students of, I want you to go to this TK-12 textbook, or even ReadWorks or Newzella, or go to this NPR news article. Mm-hmm. Now what you're having your students do is when they go there, they're going to still go to the real NPR news website.
Okay.
But through the power of our Chrome extension, it will now be tailored for your students. And so your students will now see the notes that you've added in there. You can record your own videos of you giving your students instructions on what you want them to focus on, what's the main idea again for this lesson. And then your questions are embedded after any paragraph or image so that instead of having this whole big reading, you can now chunk it up the way that you want to for your students. So if you need to add in a lot of additional supports or you want to add in a lot of critical thinking questions as the reading, you can do that. And you can do multiple choice questions and having a class discussion. So now your students can share their opinions, not at the end of the lesson, but while they're reading it. So you can get that instant idea of what are they thinking and refer back to those things. And so all of this stuff is happening in real time. And so as the teacher, I love having my students highlight stuff because now they're actually thinking more about the text and engaging with it and digging deeper.
Okay.
And so I give them simple instructions of like, highlight four things that you find interesting or have a question about and add a note on why.
Oh, student choice.
And I can see, And so, I mean, it's like, right, like, so yeah, so the students are able to kind of pick those things out. I get an idea of what is my class really grabbing onto in the reading. And as a teacher, I can see this in real time on my screen. So that means I'm not hovering over their shoulders, but I can see what Ahmed or Mustafa are highlighting on their page.
Really?
And then like, right. And then like go like and check in with them. Like, right. Maybe they're doing a great job and be like, hey, Ahmed, awesome job. I love this thing that you highlighted here in your little note. Great idea. Would you mind sharing that later on when we have our like big class discussion? Yep. And we can do those things.
I was going to say, because it's integrated with their Gmail and with their Google Classroom, you can assign it that way, but you also don't have to worry about, did they put their name on it? Because it already attributes it to that student when they're logged into their Google account, which is what I love.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking too, because I was just trying to wrap my head around it. So this is not, you go to a website and you use your application and it takes a snapshot of that website and then you put links and stuff all over it. It leaves the website alone. You can just add your stuff to it through the extension. And when the kids go to that site, your program knows that they're there and then all your stuff pops up because they're at the actual website.
Right.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool.
And that's like, right, because that authenticity is like, key to it, right? Because I've done this before with sports articles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, right, like we've all had those textbooks where they take like a sports article and they put it in the textbook and it's like, that's not a real sports article anymore.
Right. It's obviously so, you know, it's a PDF like, right, or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, right, like if you're sending your students to a real ESPN page and they're reading the article there, like you have instantly grabbed the attention of every kid that's into sports in that class.
Right.
It doesn't even matter what the lesson is about anymore. Like, they're going to read it because it's on ESPN.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, and if you're
like
doing
that part,
if you're doing a current event, something that's going on right now, the power of having it linked directly to that website that's updating. So when they update anything that's a current news piece, the kids are getting the information that just came out, not the snapshot of the article that you used when you made it.
I was also thinking too, when you mentioned, when you're talking about like a sports article or something, as far as a hook for kids, like let's say there are some kids that are, you know, super, super into sports. And if you've made this lesson, and you're using an article or something that's like 5 or 6 years old, the kids are going to be like, these guys haven't played in forever. Like this is, you know what I mean? It loses relevance. But if you're able to point to current information, it's just going to make it seem more authentic, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's the authenticity. And then, like you were saying, Suzanne, of like the news. Well, I mean, just like the news for, you know, whatever the topic is. A big part of it, too, is like, right, like you want to build up your students to be lifelong learners. And so, right, like think about how horrible it would be if students go through the majority of school and they were not going to actual news websites, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook takes over so much of these different things and now Snapchat and Instagram. And so if we aren't even having our students actually go to the actual news websites, there's a good chance like students could like go through all of high school and not really visit a news website because they've got printouts or something like that.
Right.
And yeah, that value of like, oh, like these are the news websites I go to. And then just like you're saying, Suzanne, of like, then they see like other topics that are on there. And that's where like teachers then have gone beyond what we started with insert learning. And then they like give their students now like a project of like, okay, now you've done this one current event. I want you to now pick a current event on the same website that you find interesting. Use insert learning on that and annotate it and like kind of mark it up with what you think is really interesting. And then I want you to share it back with the class.
Mm-hmm. Huh. What's been one of your, well, let's see, how do I phrase this? What's been one of your favorite stories or favorite uses of your web app that you never even considered before?
World language has been the biggest surprise for me.
Okay.
So there's two uses that have to do with world language, and I hadn't even thought about the use in it for a long time. And I think that's because last time I had a world language class was when I was like a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
But there's one teacher in Indiana. I'm blanking out, but she wants all of her lessons to be as like real world and authentic as possible because students are learning a foreign language. And so she teaches French.
Okay.
And so my favorite lesson that she's done is it's on a French website that is basically like a restaurant reservation site.
Okay.
And so you can go there and actually reserve a table for some restaurant in France. And it's got the menu on there and it's got the address and all the other information that you would have. Like, right. So this is a real website that you would use if you were in France and you wanted to go eat someplace.
Okay.
So it's as authentic as it's going to get. And she used insert learning on top of that. So she had different questions asking students, you know, about like the address. What's something, you know, strange you see about this street address, and asking them questions about the menu and just different things like that, of where it's like, again, if you wanted to go to France, if you're in France and you wanted to go to the restaurant and eat, these are all things you would need to know. So it's as authentic and real as it gets. And the fact that she was utilizing a very new piece of technology, being able to book your restaurant online, it was very current for the students, something that they're going to be used to. And I thought that was just such a cool application of insert learning, using it on these web apps that have now taken over, you know, every part of our lives.
Well, because so really neat one. Yeah, because you could have an assignment where you say, okay, everyone go to this French website and poke around, and then you know, take some notes on what you saw, and then we'll, you know, talk about it later or something. If you can make the site itself an interactive experience, I don't know, it's just a whole different level of engagement, I think. I mean, you hear people talking about HyperDocs right now are like really, really a big deal, and this sounds like the ultimate HyperDoc. You know, because the kids are, you know, they're consuming information, but they're also creating stuff and giving it back to you. I don't know. It just seems like I like the two-way street aspect of it.
Well, and
Go ahead.
When you talk about some of those things, like having them annotate and highlight, can you also, the sticky note feature where you can add a note for them is so cool, but can you talk a little bit about that sticky note is so versatile? What are some of the other things that really turning it into a HyperDoc means, adding those links to videos and things like that? Tell us a little bit more about how you can really pull in other videos or Edpuzzle or those different embed options with that sticky note.
Yeah, so there are about 60 different apps that you can embed. So the sticky note is, it's just this block. We call it sticky note because we kind of made it yellow like a sticky note, which was also invented in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
3M did. They're in Minnesota.
Yes, they did.
I'm going to say it was invented in Minnesota, yeah. They're like 2 miles away from my school. Go 3M and sticky note.
Yes, and they have an awesome teacher internship program, by the way.
I've heard that. I got to check that out more.
You do. I did it. It's amazing.
All right, I'm going to check that out now. Thank you. So the sticky note is your ability to now add in content to the page. And so it's just simply visible in kind of like the flow of it. So you can put in a whole bunch of text and you can paste in images. But yeah, it's that being able to embed other tools. So you can put in YouTube videos and the videos are playable right there. And so we've got a list of about 60 different tools that you can embed. And so like the really popular ones are like Flipgrid. So now you can have a video discussion right there within your text. Quizlet. So now you can have like vocab quizzes at the beginning of your lesson. So you can then have students kind of practice some of that vocab before they see it within the reading. Edpuzzle is an extremely popular one. Mm-hmm. Again, being able to have the questions embedded within the videos. So you can embed those. And I always like to then follow that up with an insert learning question after that one. Mm-hmm. Same thing with YouTube. But then, so much of the time, like the geographical awareness. So whenever they mention a city or a state and write, this is great with current events, I like to embed a Google map that is focused on that area. And wow. So now students like, right. So if they don't, my students don't always know where these countries or these states are. And so exactly. Now I'm just simply embedding a map and a simple question of like, right, like describe the location of this compared to where we live. And what's cool is that it's a fully interactive, like it's still the real Google Maps.
Right.
So they can zoom in and drag and everything like that. So they can really get in there and start exploring all of that stuff. And so that, again, adds a real extra level of interactivity and customizability to how you want to do this.
Right.
We've had fun ones too of like Google's auto draw.
Mm-hmm.
You could even embed in there. So then you could have students then like drawing things and then paste those in their own sticky notes. And so it's, again, it's the teacher's style can really come through and those kind of extra supports their students want. And with those sticky notes, teachers and students can also record their own videos within those notes.
Okay.
So like 3 weeks ago, I had an assignment for my sixth graders. And it was a pretty high reading level. It was on medium.com and it was about cell phones in school. And one of my students, she just could not get through this article unless I sat down with her and read it out loud to her.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, there's no way I can do this in class because the rest of my students then start getting out of control. and so I was like, hey, like, you know what? This assignment's not going to be due till like Friday. How about tonight? I'm going to go home. And so I just went home. I recorded a video after each question. So each section I kind of broke up. But for each question, I had a new video then of me reading the text out loud. And I used a screen recording tool, so I'm even moving the mouse along as I'm going along. And she watched those, and she listened to it. She did the whole lesson completely independent in class. So
wow.
That she wasn't constantly asking me questions and kind of like being singled out that way.
Right.
And she was completely independent and did a great job answering the question.
Wow, that's differentiation at its finest, I would say.
It was so simple. I'll record me reading the article out loud. Done.
Well, I like the concept too. I really understand now when you're talking about how if you give the kids too many clicks, you're going to lose them or they're going to get lost. But with this, it's like you can load all kinds of web content onto one page and they don't have to go to 20 different places to get through a lesson.
Right. I think the biggest challenge with reading assignments, because again, like so I'm a science teacher. And so, you know, it's always that challenge of like, do I have them watch this really great YouTube video before we read or after
right.
we read? You know, it's like, right. Like before it's too early, after it's like, well, you know, what if they got it or not, like it's too late now. So now you just embed it there. So they read about like ions and now you got a short little video of like Bill Nye talking about ions to now reinforce what they just read. And then you follow that up with a question. It's like, oh, that's perfect.
Yep. And it allows you, because so often you don't have that one-on-one time with your students that you really want. So it allows you to have something where they have the links, it's embedded, there's no new windows opening, and you can touch base with those students that need extra support as others are working independently.
Yes. A reading specialist teacher talking with, that's exactly how she phrased it. She's like, it's like you're on the internet with them, guiding them through without really being there.
Right. And that's a great, what's the word? I don't want to say teachable moment, but yeah. I mean, I was kind of wondering, have there been teachers that were nervous to use it? Or they were concerned about, you know, I don't know, either ads or, you know, clickbait or how do you approach those kind of situations?
Yeah. And those come up. I've had websites where it had great content because it was going to engage my students, but
right.
I like one of them was like a top 10 website, you know? So it was like top 10 bizarre animal adaptations. It had this really cool content. We were like in environmental science. It was great, but it was a website. It's like they had top 10 other things. I didn't want
right.
to see. So I just copied and pasted that stuff and moved it into a Google Doc and used Insert Learning on top of that. And so
that's been a
really popular thing of where, yes, right, like if that website that you want to use does have things that will be too distracting or too much of a problem,
you can
then
just
you
grab
can move
that
it
stuff
to a Google Doc.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can use Insert Learning over Google Docs.
Okay, yeah, it just now dawned on me. Yeah, you can. Because Google Docs are web-based as well. So anything that's in your browser, in your Chrome browser, basically, you can put that layer on top of it.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, the one thing that it doesn't work on is PDF.
Okay.
And we've got like an alpha of it working on PDFs. And I think in the future, we'll probably release that ability. But a big reason why we didn't at the beginning is because we wanted to utilize websites as much as possible.
Live content.
And one of our biggest fears that I've seen so much in like other ed tech tools is if you allow PDFs, then you're allowing for like years of PDFs of worksheets now just being transferred over.
Yeah.
And even though I said like we want to let teachers teach the way they want to, we didn't want to have like, right, like, okay, now we're just going to do PDFs of my worksheets. We wanted people to kind of go beyond what they were, you know, beyond that.
Yep. You want to up that SAMR model.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that being a big temptation too, especially teachers that are a little nervous to get into that whole world. They're like, oh, well, all right, I can just take this worksheet that I've been doing for 20 years, scan it, and then, you know, have a PDF and just throw a couple notes on it. It's like, well, no, let's try to
augment it and move beyond.
Yeah, and it, you know, and I'm glad you said, like, right, like our, you know, like teachers that are more resistant, our number one user is a AP Brit Lit teacher in North Carolina, Phil Spivey, and he prided himself on being a Luddite. He was going to jump on this whole, like, tech bandwagon thing, you know, and he was talking about how he was in such a rut. Like, he just used the same textbook year after year. He's been teaching for 25-plus years. And he talked about how one time he was in such a rut that he taught to the textbook a year that he didn't even have the textbook. He just knew it from heart.
Oh, wow.
And he was using it anyways. And so he just, like, was doing the same thing over and over, and he was doing all these presentations and stuff. And then when he saw Insert Learning, it just clicked for him. And so he just simply went back to his classroom then, found all of those, like, you know, it was BritLit, so all the text, all the stories that he was using were all available on the internet, because they're all public domain now, and he used Insert Learning on these books, and he had these years of, like, comics and all these different kinds of things to help students understand and connect with the reading, and he moved them from his presentations into Insert Learning.
Huh.
And so now he's, you know, he's blended his lessons, and the students that are able to go through the lessons with Insert Learning, and it, you know, so it was just great of like, right, like, you know, he's just doing the same thing. And he saw like, hey, like, this is something now where I can do something that I couldn't before. He's like, right, again, the SAMR model, like you're saying, Suzanne, of like, he could finally now go to that, you know, he was going to redefine the way that he was teaching this classic literature, as the students are reading it. And he was going to take himself out of the equation.
Wow.
Which is so powerful for students when you move from the front of the room to actually working with them and facilitating their learning instead of the sage on the stage that knows everything. They become more in charge of figuring out, and really they're in charge of their learning and how much they learn and how they learn. And that power of when they're interested and when they go down a rabbit hole that is for their benefit, that really is increasing the amount that they're learning on that topic.
Well, that's the thing that I find so powerful is that you can, it's almost like you're there with them as they're going through the web, going through the stuff, and you're, you know, you're teaching them how to do it, because kind of like what you said about wanting students to be lifelong learners, we have to show them how to do that. I mean, the days of where you're just the keeper of all the content, I mean, that's over. Google's replaced you a long time ago. So we have to teach them how to work through this stuff. And especially I like the idea where you talked about going to actual news sites as opposed to just Facebook or whatever, and actually doing the research and finding out what's valid and what's not.
Yeah, that whole like media literacy has been kind of a popular thing. We've got a number of questions that fit with that in some of our templates.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that getting students to now analyze websites, and that's where there's, you know, some really good, like, purposely fake websites,
right.
Like the Northwestern Tree Octopus and Dihydrogen Monoxide.org.
And the Flat Earth website.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, so it, you know, so you can have students going to those things. And then, you know, same thing with, like, news articles, you know, it's like, right, like, you know, you can find a poorly written news article and be like, hey, you guys, like, you know, right, like, did they like, actually cite where their source came from?
Right.
You know, like, right, like, here's our checklist, and now apply this checklist on this site.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you want them to move that higher level Bloom's taxonomy, they really need to have the tools to evaluate. That critical thinking piece comes from giving them the means to evaluate their sources.
That's huge, especially nowadays. Yeah. I mean, even quote unquote legitimate news sites are not so legitimate anymore.
The Google thing made me think of, I keep telling you a lot of stories here. I feel like we're probably way over our time here.
No, you're good. I got a timer going.
All right. But it's like having text dependent questions, right? Because it's my worksheets, you know, the lessons that I created a long time ago, I had a lot of very basic, low-level questions of, like, explain, like, define what an atom is. And then the students go and they hunt for it in their textbook, and now they do that. Well, now they just simply Google it. So it's even easier, and they're not learning anything at all from that.
Yeah, or they ask
and
Siri.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so, they don't even have to, like, type it in anymore.
Nope.
And so, you know, I think you can even do, like, a dictionary, like, word lookup within Google Docs.
Yep.
Yeah. All there.
And so with, so with Insert Learning, it's like, right, like, now you can ask those higher level questions, because now you can have those text dependent ones. I like to call them un-Googleable questions. Like,
yes.
I just like to ask the question of, like, summarize the above paragraph in your own words.
Yeah.
Like, I can throw that question anywhere within the article, and, like, they can't Google search that.
Right.
Like, they're just stuck. And so I was walking down the hallway last year, and this sixth grader stopped me, and he's like, hey, are you the internet guy? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that guy that made Insert Learning. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, my teacher's using that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, what do you think of it? And he's like, I really hate it.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it makes me do stuff.
No, that was it. That was exactly it. I was like, oh, why don't you like it? And he's like, well, because, like, it makes me, like, I have to read the article and stuff, because I can't just, like, Google it. And so, like, it makes me have to read it, which I mean, like, is a good thing,
right.
I guess, because, like, it was pretty interesting what we were reading. So, I mean, I guess that was good. And so it's funny, because I could see the gears turning in his head as he's, like, realizing what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, no, like, but that was good, because I did enjoy it. And so it was like that whole thing. It's like, right, like, it made the students learn, and they realized that they really enjoyed reading. Like,
right. So let's
great.
Say,
like,
so this is, you could use this in, any K-12. I mean, you can do the simplest thing, or you can do the most complicated thing with it. I mean, is it used by teachers of all grade levels?
Yeah. We've had kindergarten teachers using it. Is a teacher in Minnesota. Is a fantastic teacher, and she used it basically as kind of like they went through it as a class, and her whole reasoning for using it with kindergarten is because she wanted her students to realize that she learns by going to web pages and reading, and not because she's a teacher and magically knows everything.
Oh,
and they had multiple choice questions, and students kind of, like, talked with their partner, and then they all voted of which one they thought it was. So that was, like, at the kindergarten level. And then it's being used all the way up in higher ed. And I've talked with professors of where what they love about Insert Learning is because they can work with, there's a number of online textbooks, and we're even doing a pilot with Rice University and OpenStax, and using Insert Learning on OpenStax textbooks.
Awesome.
Wow.
But the one professor loved Insert Learning because he could use the textbooks with his, like, freshman and sophomore students. But he wanted to wean them off the textbooks and having them reading more primary sources. He wanted them reading the actual research articles or research papers. And so that was his plan, really, is that he could use Insert Learning first in the textbooks and then start introducing more of these actual primary sources that are on the internet and still have insert learning being that learning system that's going to like bridge that whole thing. And so his plan then, like for juniors and seniors, it's all going to be these research papers instead that they'll be reading.
Yeah.
But he can now use insert learning on that to highlight things or, you know, embed content and additional information.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool.
That was powerful. Yeah. Yeah.
So have you guys been down to, have you heard of TCEA?
We have.
Have you? Did you get a booth and everything? And did you have a bowl of candy? If so, what kind of candy was it?
We've never made it to TCEA.
Okay.
You were a topic of a few sessions.
Yeah, I could imagine that being a session that people would want to attend.
Well, and you were in several sessions.
Yeah.
So people brought you up. You were talked about. And TCEA, I mean, you've been to TIES, which is where I first met you. TCEA is 5 times the size of TIES, easily. It's huge. This was my first year. It was way impressive. But yeah, it's something that if you guys get a chance, you should definitely come down and like Brandon said, make sure you bring a bowl of candy. Everybody's got goodies.
Yeah.
I would love to. Yeah. Like ISTE, TCEA,
right.
FETC.
Yeah.
And then Q over on the West Coast. Those are the big conferences I want to be able to hit up some year. I'm thinking for next year, we're going to probably start having then of having some different, some of our teacher ambassadors and being able to actually kind of like go there and like share and like kind of be like a point person out there if we can't make it.
Right.
Cause yeah, that's so much of like it. I love being able to just kind of like talk to the teachers. While I wasn't there, I did get a number of messages from Leslie Fisher.
Yes.
During her presentations, her favorite thing is to always send me messages and I can never make it in time. I'm always like a few minutes too late. But yeah, that again has been fascinating because so much of the time it's like after the fact, we'll find out that we were part of a presentation.
Right.
I got to figure out a way to somehow figure out who's presenting about us earlier on because that really is just an amazing thing because it's, again, like we're a teacher-founded, teacher-run education startup. We spend no money whatsoever on marketing or advertising.
Right.
We give out free subscriptions to as many ed camps as we can find. When somebody's presenting on us, we'll send them some swag and some subscriptions to hand out.
They have really
but
cool
I mean,
coffee
that's basically
mugs.
It. Mm. Right. Some coffee mugs. Yeah, we gotta get more of those, and we need to get some T-shirts too. But yeah. And for your questions about the candy, I really like giving out the Hershey Kisses and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Ah, okay.
There we go.
Chocolate ones.
Good. Yeah. I didn't see a whole lot of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. No. A lot of dark chocolate, though. I think everyone's trying to watch the LBs. So now let me ask you this. If a teacher wanted to get started with this, I mean, what are your different subscription levels or packages, or how does that work?
All right. When you sign up, you've got the free account. So the free account limits you to 5 lessons at one time. So that means you can delete lessons and create more.
Okay.
It's got all the features, unlimited students, unlimited classes, do whatever you want to do. But you can only store up to 5 lessons at a time.
Okay.
Now we do have a referral program. So every teacher that signs up using your referral link, you get a free month. Both of you get a free month on the unlimited plan. So we have a number of teachers of where like they ask me all these questions and I know what they're leading up to. And I'll be like, hey, like, yes, you can just do this. That's fine.
Yeah.
You have enough friends.
A lot of schools, what they'll do is like teachers, they'll be like, hey, like, you know, they'll invite 3 teachers. And then, you know, that teacher will invite other people. So they've got 3 months of creating unlimited lessons and they'll create a whole bunch of lessons and then just run off that for the rest of the school year.
Okay.
And because even after your subscription lapses, you still have access to all of your lessons.
Oh, wow.
You can't create more, but you still get access to all of it.
Wow.
And it does fully integrate into your Google Classroom so you can use them with all of your students.
Even after it's lapsed?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's part of the free.
Yep. Yep.
I was one of the teachers that deleted.
Yeah, because we're an official Google Classroom partner, so we've got a lot of great integration with it. We're looking at the long run, and it takes teachers so much work to figure out how do they want to integrate a tool into their classroom, and we just get that. And so that's why we have a lot of flexibility. So if teachers feel like they're gaming the system, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I understand how it works. Hopefully,
those piles
after
of
like
money.
A year of that, yeah, I mean, it's like, right, like, you know, hopefully you're going to realize, be like, hey, I want to do even more.
Right.
And then they'll be like, hey, superintendent or principal, this is why you guys should buy me a subscription. Or it's just some teachers pay out of it, pay for it out of their own pocket. But so it's for your, the unlimited plan, it's an annual price of $40 per teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have school plans of where it's a flat $1,500 per site, or we have district pricing that starts at about $2 per student. And then like we have a volume discount based on that. So we try to keep it very affordable for the teachers as well as for the schools, because you can use it across a lot of things as well as professional development.
Right. Man.
Yeah. Can you think about a professional development or an article that you have to read for some meeting you're going to and being able to respond and do that virtually so you can respond to the discussion and you can interact with that article online instead of having to do a meeting when you've got so much else going on in the day?
Yeah. Well, I mean, also too, I mean, because I was thinking about, I thought about making our podcast, you know, putting those up. And if you can get through the whole 45 minutes or whatever, you know, that can go towards some of your alternative staff or some kind of professional development. But if we were able to put it on a page that also had links to either other videos or questions or, you know, go to this site and look at these features and, you know, kind of build it out that way. And that could be another way that people could do their professional development online.
Include a form and then they can fill it out and you have a record of their ASD.
Do it in your, it's just do it in your pajamas.
PD in your PJs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
You can embed that Google form at the end of your insert learning reading.
Exactly.
There you go.
Wow. Another good idea.
So I have to ask, what was your favorite science application that you've used insert learning for in your classroom?
Let's see. Oh, there was one. All right. So I've done electronics and circuits for a long time and we would do all this programming and stuff. And any teacher that has tried to teach students how to wire up circuits knows the frustration when you're running an entire class, especially when it's teacher directed. So it's like everybody runs along my speed as I'm giving the presentation. It's like, okay, now do this, because there's 1,001 things that can go wrong when you're trying to wire up a circuit.
All right.
And I did a lesson where it was, everything was running at my pace because I had it set up as a presentation and we were going to go through the wiring and the coding and different things. And it was a disaster. And it was a disaster for like years running up to it, because there would always be all these technical issues that students would run into. And then everyone else has to wait.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that lesson 1 year, about a year after we started up Insert Learning. And it was a disaster, of course. And like 10 minutes in, I realized, I'm like, wait a second, I should be doing this with Insert Learning instead. So I just like, okay, you guys, never mind. We're going to do this lesson tomorrow. And so what it was is it was a physics lesson talking about color.
Okay.
And how it is that different colors can mix together to form any other kind of color and those kinds of things. And so what I did was I used a website for the color theory. So I now used Insert Learning on that original website, which students hadn't gone to because I just put it in a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So now students are going to this webpage about color theory. I embedded questions, but then the real key things was for wiring up the circuit. Of course, someone else had already wired up that exact circuit and they put a YouTube video up there. So I just borrowed that video, put it in at the beginning. So students now could watch that video at their own pace with their partner and wire up the circuit. And then for the coding, we use this really cool tool called CodeBender, and it's codebender.cc, and you can then program microcontrollers all through the web.
Huh.
And so what's really neat is that you could I could actually embed those into the reading. So now I had things like make your LEDs turn red, and then they would upload the code to their Arduino while they're reading the text. And it's like, cool, they're done. They answer a question, they move on. And so I even had things that's like, okay, now like do this, and now like right now share with me your code of like that you did for these things. And so I had students now going to a web page that was about color theory. I embedded physics, I embedded coding, we had instructions on wiring up circuits. We had so many standards in this one lesson, all built off a website that was really just simply about how colors mix.
Wow.
It was just such a fun thing that took like 2 days, and students did a really cool thing, and they're all working independently, so I could kind of walk around the room and work with them. That was such a fun one. But and so, my other favorite lesson.
So they could do all that stuff almost virtually before they even have to do it in the physical world. And then, you know, they have a better understanding and you're not running around pulling your hair out.
Well, they were still, this one, there was nothing virtual for it, but it's just all those different components of the lesson,
okay,
which were separated in all these different places. And that's why embedded within this one.
Yep. Okay. So they were still working on stuff physically and then, but they would do stuff on the website as well, yep, like with CodeBender or checking out the videos and stuff like that.
Because they could pause the video as they're building the circuit.
And they can't pause you.
Yeah, pausing you is harder.
So the one of my other favorite lessons is, and this is very timely. So in Minnesota, we have, I was doing a game design class. And we were going to do a unit about, can games teach people? And I wanted my students to do more reading and more annotation, even though it was kind of like a game development STEM class.
Okay.
And that was tricky at times. So Minnesota has a pretty large Somali population. Mm-hmm. And so my school, my charter school, is almost all Somali East African students. And so when this measles outbreak happened in Minnesota a couple of years ago, it's like there's another measles outbreak happening on the West Coast. There's this big measles outbreak, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was mostly in the Somali population, in the Somali community in the Twin Cities, because there was just kind of like, there's the rumors about autism and things like that.
Right.
And so this was something that was very, this was impacting my students a lot. I would not have done this lesson, done the same thing someplace else. But so I found an article in the local newspaper, and it had some graphs and stuff and charts in there, because I wanted to add in some graph literacy. And then we just kind of read that. And so my students were instantly engaged in this article that was pretty in-depth, because it was about the Somali community in Minnesota and this measles outbreak. And some of my students hadn't even heard of it yet.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they were all completely engaged and read this entire article and annotated it. And we had some great discussion. And then at the end of that, I said, hey, you guys, right? So here's this big thing. What's causing it is misinformation and people not understanding something. Could games be a way to teach people about the importance of vaccinations? And then boom. So our hook was reading a news article, and now we're going into discussing the impact and role that games can have in education, and then they're going to do their own research and stuff like that. And that was just such a cool thing. I love this idea. I love the fact that literally for the class, for that unit, we were going to be playing video games,
right?
And my hook for that lesson, for that unit, was read a news article.
Yep.
Not the other way around. We're going to read a bunch of stuff, and we're going to play a game as the hook. It's we're going to read first is our hook, and then we play video games.
Wow.
And it's that relevance and immediacy that is really the hook more than any shiny object.
Yep. 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 Yeah. It was just silent in there. It was beautiful. Not because they were silent, but just they were that engaged.
Yeah, they were engaged. Yeah.
Sometimes it is the silence, but.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today, and, I look forward to getting on the old interwebs and playing some more with Insert Learning. Sounds
I'll
like a pretty
invite
awesome
you.
Tool. Oh, yeah. Invite me so I can get some free stuff.
Yeah, definitely put your referral code on there. There's one teacher that's got, she's got 3 years of Insert Learning all ready to go for free.
It's a pyramid.
Well, we get this put up on our site. We'll make sure to put a link to the website and y'all's contact info.
All right. Thank you very much, Fanny and Suzanne, for this opportunity.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Stay warm.
All right. Bye.
AISD Tech Talk.